Betty Follier joins us now on Making Sausage, along with DFL commentator Colleen Nardone. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to. It's wonderful to have the chance to tell Betty how much I appreciate all the work she's done for the ERA.
Thank you.
Wow. So let's talk about kind of the history of it. In 1973, Minnesota was the 26th state to ratify the federal ERA amendment. What happened then?
Well, first of all, you know, it was written in 1921 by Alice Paul and her friend Crystal Eastman, and it mirrored the 19th Amendment. The 19th Amendment, which 100 years ago passed, giving women the right to vote. And that one essentially says voting rights shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. That's paraphrased. But so the Equal Rights Amendment says equality of rights shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. It's 24 words. That's all. So what happened was it didn't pass through Congress until 1972, where it passed through the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate and was sent out to be ratified by three-quarters of the states. And as you know, we only got to 35 states before this artificial extra-textual deadline was imposed upon it. And so it went through the doldrums for several years. And then in the late 90s, a report came out saying something to the effect that, well, the deadline is not really in the text. It's extra textual. And the rescindments probably won't count because that has happened before in the 14th Amendment, and the Supreme Court didn't take it up because they said you can't rescind after the fact. So the energy has been building and building and building through the 2000s. ERA Minnesota was established by me and others in 2014, and we have been working for the last six years, to do everything we can to advance both a state ERA and a federal ERA.
Why? Why do you want to do
because,
that?
Because people think that this all happened last century. You know, the impression is that, oh, we got that done because Minnesota ratified in 1973, as you mentioned. But the fact is that it never was put into our U.S. Constitution, our supreme law of the land, which governs all of our court systems all across the United States. So what we have right now is uneven laws, laws that are fickle. They come and go with the political winds, as we've seen during this administration with the ratcheting back of women's rights. And so we don't have protections that are embedded into our Constitution that protect women and really all citizens against sexual violence, pregnancy discrimination, unequal pay, and the laws that discriminate as well against men. And there are unjust laws that affect men as well. And so the Equal Rights Amendment is for all.
I think that's an excellent point, though, that people should remember it does not say women any place in that amendment.
It
just
sure doesn't.
And it's for,
you know,
both
all
of us.
Means all. Or as they said in Virginia, that just became the 38th state, giving us three-quarters of the states that ratified. They just ratified it, as you know, in January. They say all means all, y'all, and I agree.
So,
and I was there, which was really fun.
Oh, wow. So how would things be different now if it had been ratified?
It's hard to say. How do you ever wonder about things like that? Many things have happened. Interestingly enough, the things that the scaremongers warned us about happened anyway, too. I don't know very many women who get alimony anymore. And that was one of the big things. Oh, if your marriage ends, you won't get alimony. I know a great many young women who are delighted that they have the opportunity to go into the military and secure college credits for after they get out. And that was the other big fear. Oh, we'll see women having to go into the military. They'll be sent into combat. And, you know, that kind of thing. Those things have evolved. Other than that, I'm having a hard time seeing what would have been totally different, because we have done this thing, as Betty says, with individual laws and individual states. But those can be overturned very, very easily.
Yes, they can. And what you're describing is what was known as the parade of horribles. You know, women in the military, same-sex bathrooms, gay marriage. Well, marriage equality is the law of the land now without an equal rights amendment. Unisex bathrooms are ubiquitous without an ERA amendment. You know, the fact is that all of the scare tactics which keep on being used are red herrings. They're not what the Equal Rights Amendment is about. The Equal Rights Amendment is about equality, period. It's about giving all citizens in America their birthright, which is equal rights. We just don't have it yet in our Constitution. And you know that the Constitution intentionally left out women back in the 1700s. You know, it was Abigail Adams who said to John Adams as he went off to help write the Constitution, don't forget the ladies. Well, he forgot them. And it's continued on to this day. And it's taken movements like Time's Up and Me Too and Women's March to bring it again to the forefront.
So it sounds like you are hopeful now, Betty.
Oh, gosh. We have never been closer than we are right now. We have 38 states, according to the Constitution, again, the highest law of the land, our supreme law. We have reached the bar line for putting it into the Constitution. And now we're at the point of the lawsuits because, you know, as soon as you get this accomplished, you're going to get pushback. So the lawsuits are flying now on both sides. And that's exactly what happened in 1920 after women got the vote. As soon as women got the vote, the lawsuits happened. So this is history repeating itself. But I'm very sure that we're on the right side of history here.
I think one of the things to remember, think back to how long this has been going on. Betty mentioned Minnesota ratifying in 1973. As you know, I was a much younger woman in 1973. And when I look back, I almost wore my ERA apron in this morning that I got back in about that era and still have as a memory.
Yeah.
But we did things like that. We tried to agitate. We really wanted this. And I look at the women that agitated with me, and I'm the only one left. That's why we need women like Betty, because they're younger, they've got the energy, and they can pick up the ball where we dropped it and take it across the finish line. And
I love that you think I'm young.
Well,
millennials. And I just had a woman with me over at the Capitol, 24 years old, and fully committed to this. That's what I love to see.
Yes, because so many of the younger women don't have the memories of what it was like before the individual laws. Like
right.
When I was young, and a woman who got married in many, many places had to give up her teaching job because, mm-hmm. after all, we couldn't have married women teaching, and we certainly couldn't have pregnant women teaching. And
right.
Things like this that young, I had a younger woman say to me the other day, I can't believe that's so recent, you lived through it. Well, it's still pretty recent in a lot of other places, more so than it is here.
Right, and for people, young women going into the workforce, I had a nephew say to me, oh, Aunt Betty, there isn't discrimination now. We're all equal. The women are making the same that I'm making. And I just said, wait 5 years. So, you know, we're going to be talking about all of this at the Central Lake College. And actually, there's two presentations, Heidi. There's one at 1 p.m. and one at 5:30. So I want to make sure that everybody is invited out. And I'm, you know, the knowledge that I have at this point is it's going to be in room 203 at Central Lake College. So just want to kind of make a plug for that to come out and find out. This, I'm going to be talking about the state of the ERA and the state, yes, you're right, the state of the ERA is great right now.
So, Betty, what did you mean when you told your nephew, wait 5 years?
Because what happens is that's when the divide starts happening where, you know, it can be interruptions in women's lives like pregnancy, where they have to step back a bit from their, or they might get fired because they're pregnant. It's because of taking care of aging parents that women continue to do the lion's share of unpaid labor, which is all the caregiving of families. And it just gradually over time starts showing up in how much less we have the capacity to earn, plus the discrimination that we still face in the workplace where men are paid more than women for the same job. And, you know, that you break it down and, you know, you'll see different statistics, but women in general are making like 80 cents on the dollar to a man's dollar. But that you break it down into African-American women, Latino women, Asian-American women, and Native American women, and it goes down from there. I think Native American women is somewhere between 54 to 56 cents per dollar of a man's dollar. And it's shameful. Our country should not be doing this to women, because when you lift women up, you lift up the society, and we're going to lift up our economy when we get the Equal Rights Amendment.
I think another thing that, an example of what Betty was talking to is when a woman stays home because daycare is so expensive for her, so she stays home with her kids until they get to school. Then it comes time to go back into the workforce, and employers do not hire someone who has taken off 5 to 8 years to raise her family. And so she is permanently excluded from many jobs because she showed that her real commitment wasn't to her job, it was to her children. This doesn't happen to men because they're not staying home and taking care of the children.
Most of the time, yeah. You know, that there are wonderful men who are sharing the load, but that's not the norm in the society at this point.
Betty, thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you. I look forward to seeing everybody up there.
Sounds great.